Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Always a pleasure to be able to share positive insights in how we can live a longer, healthier, and happier life. All of our information comes from PubMed, the National Library of Medicine, from peer-reviewed journals, from respected institutions. Therefore, you can have confidence in its accuracy. Today, we're going to talk about coenzyme Q10 and selenium. Also, the whole idea of reducing depression symptoms following a certain nutrient, and false positive mammogram results linked to spike in anxiety prescriptions. Scientists named top five foods rich in prebiotics, and newly discovered danger of high fructose corn syrup is alarming, and it's a lot of beverages and foods. And also, these foods can help you live longer and protect the planet. That's what we're going to talk about. Mind you, we're heard all over the world, and we're watched. You can watch me right now by going to prn.live, scrolling down to archives, and scrolling down to Gary Knoll. I have a lot of clips I'm going to show today in the main body of the show, so if you want to watch them, and I hope you do, that's how you can watch them. More findings show that coenzyme Q10 taken with selenium is really good for you. This is from the Lipkoping University in Sweden, a study of a trial that has been a source of numerous findings concerning the benefits of coenzyme Q10 and selenium reveal yet more positive effects associated with intake of these two nutrients. The current investigation found that participants who received a combination experienced beneficial changes in biomarkers of aging, while those who received a placebo had unfavorable modifications. The study was reported in the peer-reviewed journal Cells. It was 441 men, ages 70 to 88, with low selenium levels. That's the average American, by the way. And then they either received 100 milligrams a day of coenzyme Q10 and 200 micrograms of selenium per day for 48 months. Both of the blood samples were analyzed before and after, plus other biomarkers of aging. And so that's very important. There is one biomarker you want to test if you can get a test. It's called the ICAM1. I repeat, ICAM1. What is it? It's an immune response regulator that drives inflammatory responses. And so you want to know if your body is inflamed, or an organ, a brain, lungs, heart, because that's important, especially the heart, now that we're seeing such impact upon the heart and the spike protein. You don't want a proliferation of cytokines because that can really cause damage to your lungs, your muscles, etc. In any case, I would recommend 100 milligrams in the morning and 100 milligrams in the evening of coenzyme Q10, just once a day of selenium in the morning, 200 micrograms. That's a very small amount. But boy, does it work together. It slows down the aging process, and you see it in the biomarkers of aging. Now, from the University of Vermont, supplementing with magnesium, yes, magnesium, can help reduce depression symptoms. This was a randomized crossover trial. It was reported in the journal PLOS ONE, resulted in a reduction in symptoms of depression and anxiety among participants who received magnesium for 6 weeks. And it was only 248 milligrams of elemental magnesium from magnesium chloride. I would suggest magnesium citrate at 400 milligrams in the morning and 400 milligrams in the evening for better results. But still, good results for depression. Now, a lot of people, according to Penn State University, are not aware that a false positive mammogram result is linked to spikes in anxiety prescriptions. Understandable. If you were told that, well, you just tested positive for HIV or coronavirus, or the mammogram just tested positive, you have cancer in your breast, it's going to create anxiety. That's a normal reaction. However, in all three of those, there's a huge number of false positives, and the scientific community has reported this, but it has not made its way into the mainstream media, nor have they changed the quality of those tests. But in this particular study, women who experience a false positive mammogram result are more likely to begin medication for anxiety or depression than women who received an immediate negative result. So always look for other ways of testing yourself. Never just accept one physician's opinion, because they could be wrong. And as I reported last week from the current British Medical Journal, almost 900,000 people are given iatrogenic diagnosis or treatment each year, causing permanent suffering and or death. So always get different opinions from different experts, hopefully board certified, in different approaches to the condition. Now, from San Jose State University, scientists named five foods rich in prebiotics, which is good for your gut, which is good for your immune system, which is good for your heart. There's growing evidence that consuming prebiotics, certain types of fiber, often found in plants that stimulate beneficial bacteria in your gut, can help to maintain a healthy gut microbiome. In a new study, scientists estimated the prebiotic content of thousands of food types by using pre-existing literature to find out which foods offer the highest prebiotic content. And they found this. Dandelion greens. Most people never eat dandelion greens. They think it's a weed, and they take it out of their garden. Dandelion greens, Jerusalem artichoke, garlic, leeks, and onions. Well, how about that? What if you ate all those? You could put all those in a salad. Yeah. In addition to supporting gut microbiome, prebiotics contain high amounts of fiber, something most Americans do not get enough of. So eat some prebiotics as well as probiotics and promote healthier gut. And the healthier gut, the healthier immune system. And that's important. And we're just not eating enough of that. Now, according to the Zurich Institute for Molecular Health Sciences, they have discovered new reasons not to consume high fructose corn syrup. It's no mystery that packaged and prepared foods in our grocery stores are full of high fructose corn syrup. Though while more food makers are omitting it, which is good, more people are demanding, don't put in the artificial sweeteners, don't put in the sugar, don't put in the gluten, and you'll see thousands of new products because you're asking for it, which is important. But high fructose corn syrup, that is really bad. And some companies are still including it in their health beverages or their beverages. A professor of cell biology at Zurich Institute for Molecular Health summarizes the problem with today's nutrition. He explains that fructose was a replacement for glucose, which at one point in time was believed to be better than for consumers. Unfortunately, the assumption that fructose, including high fructose corn syrup, was better was indeed wrong. The liver converts fructose directly into fat. People who consume lots of fructose end up developing high blood pressure, suffering from obesity, developing insulin resistance, among other health issues. Doctors usually call this metabolic syndrome, and for some time, they couldn't figure out why so many Americans were so overweight. Furthermore, mercury is used in the production process of many types of fructose. So products which contain fructose also may contain traces of mercury, and there's no such thing as a safe level of mercury. This was published in the number one scientific journal of the world, Nature. So fructose drives molecular processes and can create uncontrolled growth of heart muscle. That's just one thing that it does. And that condition eventually leads to complete heart failure and death. And yet, nothing is being done about it. The growing heart requires more oxygen. When one has high blood pressure, the veins have a difficult time pumping oxygen-rich blood to the heart. In an effort to keep us alive, our heart cells switch to an alternate supply of energy that is anaerobic in nature. The body goes into glycolysis, literally the splitting of sugars. This in turn sets up a fatal chain of reactions, and the heart actually grows since it's harder to pump the blood through the circulatory system. So that's just one reason. Killing your heart, that's a good enough reason to stop. And finally, from Harvard School of Public Health, these foods they found will help you live longer and also protect the planet. And of course, we've been right from the beginning, all these years, all these decades. Just imagine this. How many people in this audience started way back? How far back does it go? When I was on WHBI up on 96th Street, Balconeco Studios, broadcasting a two-hour program every day, 5 days a week for 5 years. Or after that on WMCA radio, starting in the early 70s. Or maybe it was WR or ABC and ABC Radio Network. Been around a long time. Think of the people who, if you started then on a healthy plant-based diet, good exercise and dealing with stress, keeping a positive attitude, and I'm sure some of you have done that, how do you look compared to your contemporaries, the people you went to school with? Do you notice the difference? Yeah, I'll bet you do. So everything constructive happens when you're doing something for the body, but it's in a good way, but it's also destructive. It just takes longer for a symptom to manifest. So what if you just do good stuff all the time? Well, eating more plant-friendly foods could help you live longer and healthier life. And the researchers found that people who followed a more environmentally sustainable diet were 25% less likely to die during a follow-up period over 30 years compared to those who ate a normal American diet, unhealthy, processed, high in fats, trans fats, saturated fats, and excess protein. So they're telling you, eat the plant-based foods and help reduce or eliminate heart disease, colorectal cancer, diabetes, stroke, and negative impacts on the planet, because that's what having animal proteins does. It pollutes the planet. So, and this study had 100,000 participants. It's a large cohort study, and they followed those people over a long period of time to show that those who had plant-based foods, the whole spectrum, you can live a longer life by almost 25%. Well, hey, that means if you're now 70 and you're on a healthy plant-based diet, you could live to be 100 in good health. But what if you've been on a healthy diet your whole life? Then there's no reason you can't live into your 120s, 30s. But here's the real good news, and I have a documentary coming out on this in the next couple weeks. And I have an article that has been accepted, corrected, approved, and is being published in a major mainstream journal. We have, I think, 14 authors. Some of the best anti-aging scientists in the world are on that. And that was based upon the first 5 clinical studies I've done. Right now, there's good research being done that means that they will be able to correct every aging cell in your body, from your skin to get it tight and full and wonderful again, your hair, your vision, your heart, your brain. That's where we're at. And it's happening right now. You can look for these major breakthroughs in the next 5 years or sooner. So keep the faith, because we can slow it down and even reverse it. That's the latest on health and healing. And also go to Gary Noll YouTube for my classroom on the air. I do all these different in-depth discussions of topics that are important for our listeners. All right, I just did one over an hour on how to keep your hair healthy, and if you're bald, thinning, gray, male or female pattern baldness, how that can be reversed in many cases. Not in every case, but in a lot of cases. And that's based on 2 giant clinical studies that I did. And there's just more information on that now. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. What we're going to do now, and we'll be doing each day this week on this program, is focusing upon finding the truth in all the different obfuscations and lies and half-truths, disinformation campaigns that we're faced with in virtually all the important issues of our life, whether it's global warming and the demand for electrical cars, or solar is the answer to the future, We've been lied to. But it doesn't begin now. This has been going on for a long time. But what's different is this, and maybe you're aware of this, maybe not. Let's just say that you find that there's something terribly wrong with how a governmental agency or a major corporation is doing business. They're doing something that is intentionally, with malice aforethought, causing destruction to people or groups or the environment, whatever the crime is. So you contact your legislator and say, hey, I'm a whistleblower. I have proof that this actually is happening. It's not hearsay. It's not a conspiracy theory. I can show you proof. Legislator says, thank you. And then says, I'll look into it. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. Depends upon who's given them money and how much and what allegiance they have to the lobbyists who represent the manufacturers and large major industries. It also has to do with the deep state that is never held accountable. CIA, the National Security Agency, Homeland Security, the FBI. And so let's just say, real example, true story. Let's just say you're Robert Kennedy Jr. and you've been told that there was a secret meeting of the major pharmaceutical industry representatives who make vaccines, especially the MMR vaccine. But also the World Health Organization was there, and the FDA and the CDC, major government agencies' heads were there. And this was done over in Georgia near the CDC headquarters at a Christian retreat, but the press was not allowed. No one was allowed to film anything, record anything. So a cabal of all these people came together, and why? It was called the Vera Stratton study. A scientist had discovered, when they looked at the MMR vaccine and the side effects, including neurological side effects, including autism, that there was a correlation. Not casual, correlation. And this freaked them out, because that would virtually destroy the entire myth of the safety and efficacy of every vaccine, including Robert F. Kennedy. He got himself vaccinated, got all his kids vaccinated, and he prides himself in that. Well, they went to great lengths to try to cover that up. But he managed to get minutes that someone took, and someone recorded it. And he brought this to their attention. Nothing happened. The media wouldn't touch it. Congress wouldn't investigate it. So then, jump ahead. There's a study at the CDC, and one of the lead researchers on this, a man named William Thompson, he finds that the MMR vaccine, the same vaccine that was causing the problem in mercury in that one, but in this one, it was causing autism spectrum disorder in African-American young males, 36 months and younger, at over 325% increase. And they estimated that would cause about 100,000 African-American children to end up with autism or other neurological disorders. So Thompson became a whistleblower, not voluntarily. He had been in conversation with Dr. Brian Hooker, whose son developed autism and was seeking information that could better help him understand, how did my son become autistic? What was in the vaccines? And he was filing Freedom of Information Act requests with the CDC. Thompson began to communicate with him personally, something he's never done. And in one of these conversations, Thompson let it out that we knew it was causing autism, and we destroyed the evidence. We brought all the scientists brought all their records, put them in black garbage bag, and we destroyed them. Except I didn't, because I was afraid if I ever got called before Congress, I wanted to have documents. Well, Thompson reached out and nobody would listen. So he reached out to Representative Posey of Florida. Nobody would listen. Posey tried to get committee hearings to bring in everyone from the CDC to testify under oath. They wouldn't allow the hearing. Now, why is this important? And why is this important today? Because through multiple administrations, for the last 20 plus years, there have been no congressional hearings where the deep state, governmental agencies, and mainstream media and corporate America has been held accountable for crimes against humanity. Why not? Because in order to get a committee hearing, you have to have the approval of the House of Representatives and the Senate president, and Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, and before him, a Republican out of, or a Democrat out of Las Vegas, who held the same views. So they just didn't allow it. If they don't want a committee hearing, you don't get one. But if they want one, they can stack it. They can decide who they're going to invite and only have their supporters on. That's what they did on several occasions. I'm talking about the Democrats. So what if the truth is out there and it impacts everyone? If you don't have a committee hearing, you can't get it done until this January, when Republicans, and they're just as bad as Democrats, got the control of the House. Now you have multiple hearings showing corruption at every level of government, working in collusion with major tech companies to suppress the truth. So everything that we were told years ago, 3.5 years ago, about COVID has been a lie, demonstrably lies, and causing untold numbers of millions of people to have adverse reactions, many of them permanent, and countless deaths. This is the most egregious crime against humanity in America's history. And yet, you wouldn't have known any of this. You even try to make an association. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. No. Under oath, now that they control the committees, they're bringing in people, including top scientists, physicians, whistleblowers, who are telling us the truth. How are you going to handle that truth if you're an ideologue or you're a person that is so political you can't hear anything but the echo chamber that you're living in, so any other truth you just dismiss out of hand? And that's what's happening in the mainstream media. But let's show you what's being said. See how you handle it. Everything that is being stated now, I have independently confirmed. I've written about it. I've documented it. But again, which social media is going to carry my articles? None. As a result, publish on Global Research and other outlets that are not afraid of the truth that they don't control yet. Let's now take a look at under oath hearings that you didn't know about. These people you would never have known existed, from a state attorney general showing you collusion, the head of a committee showing you a letter from the White House asking Twitter to ban people, and yet they said, "Oh, we didn't do that." Yeah, they did. They lied about all of it. So this is just a watershed moment in American history. We haven't had this since the Church Committee hearings in the 1970s, where legislator Church brought in the CIA, and they had to admit that they had infiltrated every major news organization. Yeah, they admitted it. And now we know they control everything. But here's proof of it.
The motion to table is agreed to. We will now move to our second witness. Ms. Morris, you are recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you. Thanks so much for inviting me. My name is Emma Jo Morris, politics editor at Breitbart. I'm here today because I published a series of news stories 3 years ago in October of 2020 about Hunter Biden's now infamous laptop, also known as the laptop from hell, which is seen as some of the most scandalous reporting of the last decade. What was more scandalous than the reporting itself, though, was the fact that it exposed the unholy alliance between the intelligence community, social media platforms, and legacy media outlets. At the time, I was deputy politics editor at the New York Post, and my reporting showed that despite then-candidates Joe Biden's repeated and furious denials, he was apparently involved in the foreign business deals of his family. Over several days, just weeks before Americans would vote for their next president, I revealed verified, authentic emails from the Biden scion's hard drive showing Ukrainian business partners receiving leaks from the Obama White House. I documented an off-the-books meeting between then-Vice President Biden and a Ukrainian energy executive, and introduced the world to the big guy, who got action on a deal with CEFC, China Energy Company. The Post published exactly how the material for the reporting was obtained, even identifying our sources, as well as a federal subpoena showing the FBI was in possession of the material the story was based on and had been since December of 2019. But when the stories appeared on social media that morning, the venue where millions of Americans go to find their news and editors to get their angles, within hours, the reporting was censored on all major platforms on the basis of being called hacked or Russian disinformation. Twitter refused to allow users to share the link to the stories, ban the links from being shared in private messages, a policy, by the way, that's used to clamp down on child porn and lock the post out of its verified account. Facebook said it would curb distribution and reach of the links on its platform. However, the stories were not based on hacked materials, nor were they Russian disinformation. And despite those claims appearing to come out of thin air at the time, we would eventually learn that they actually didn't come out of thin air at all. On October 19th, 5 days after the Post began publishing, Politico ran a story headlined, "Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former Intel officials say." God, I can't even say that with a straight face, you know? Politico printed a letter completely uncritically from veteran members of the U.S. intelligence community falsely claiming that the Post expose has, quote, all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. My God. Most notable among the signatories of that letter were Jim Clapper from former DNI, Michael Hayden, former CIA, John Brennan, former CIA. Despite having such damaged credibility following their participation in the Russia collusion conspiracy theory. A few days later, on October 22nd, when Biden appeared in the second presidential debate and was confronted with the facts of the Post reporting, he said to Trump, quote, 50 former national intelligence professionals said this, what he's accusing me of is a Russian plot. But it was not, and he knew that. Now, fast forward to this year, 3 years later. Just last spring, House investigators revealed it was a call by now Secretary of State Antony Blinken to former acting CIA Director Michael Morell that prompted the spy letter published by Politico, which bypassed agency approval processes that would have been normally applied. It is also now known that ahead of my reporting, federal agencies were priming social media companies to execute an operation to discredit it. According to internal documents released by Elon Musk upon his acquisition of Twitter, the FBI and other intelligence community members essentially directed the platform's censorship operation, in part externally by working with top management and in part internally by social media companies hiring eye-popping numbers of agency alumni. Journalist Michael Schallenberger reported, based on documents he obtained from Musk, that during all of 2020, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies repeatedly primed Twitter executives to dismiss reports of Hunter Biden's laptop as a Russian hack and leak operation. Feds arranged for top secret security clearances to be granted to Twitter management and even had encrypted messaging networks set up, which they dubbed a virtual war room. To this day, hundreds of people from the intelligence community work at social media companies. Over the last few years, my reporting has been confirmed by virtually every mainstream news outlet, from the Washington Post to the New York Times to Politico, when the stakes were nothing, by the way, 2 years later. No one denies that the laptop is real, that the origin story is exactly what I told you it was in the first place. This elaborate censorship conspiracy wasn't because the information being reported on was false. It was because it was true, and it was a threat to the power centers in this country. What this relationship between the US government officials and American corporations represent is an unprecedented push to undermine the First Amendment, the right to think, write, read, say whatever we want. And how we respond will determine whether we see a free press as inalienable or as optional. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Morris. Mr. Sauer, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittee. On July 4th, 2023, Independence Day, Judge Terry A. Doty of the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana entered a historic injunction against the White House and other federal officials. This injunction prevents them from, quote, urging, encouraging, pressuring, or inducing in any manner the removal, deletion, suppression, or reduction of content containing protected free speech posted on social media platforms. Judge Doty's opinion contains 82 pages of detailed factual findings, supported by 577 citations of the evidence, which is drawn from roughly 20,000 pages of the federal government's own emails and communications with social media platforms and 6 full-length depositions. In its recently filed stay motions, the government has hardly bothered to dispute any of these factual findings. The Court of Appeals has entered a, quote, temporary administrative stay of this injunction and granted expedited argument, briefing and argument on August 10th. Contrary to some recent suggestions, a temporary administrative stay is, quote, routine practice in the Fifth Circuit. That's a direct quote from their recent decision in N. Ray Abbott. And it does not reflect any judgment of the merits. Today, I want to offer seven observations drawn from the Louisiana opinion. First, the Louisiana court found, based on overwhelming evidence, that federal officials are the cause of the censorship of the viewpoints they disfavor. The government likes to claim that social media platforms acting on their own would apply their policies and censor all this content anyway. This is demonstrably incorrect. Again and again, the Louisiana court found that the platforms would not have suppressed this speech but for the fact that the federal officials were pushing for it. The deplatforming of Alex Berenson, the throttling of Tucker Carlson's content, the silencing of the so-called disinformation dozen, which includes Mr. Kennedy, the suppression of much of the so-called borderline, which is, quote, often true content on Facebook's platforms, the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story, and much more, all these were suppressed because of the efforts of federal officials. Second, the scope and reach of federal censorship is staggering. As the Louisiana court repeatedly found, it affects, quotes, millions of social media posts and speakers all across America. It affects virtually every American who reads, listens, engages, or posts on social media about great disputed political and social questions that federal censors have stuck their fingers into. Third, federal censorship is ongoing and it shows no signs of relenting. Federal officials' censorship efforts are in full swing and they're expanding to new frontiers. Left unchecked, federal censorship will reach virtually any disputed social and political question over which federal officials want to impose their power. Fourth, the Louisiana opinion shows that federal officials are most eager, most focused on silencing truthful speech and to muzzle the most influential critics of the administration and its policies. Tucker Carlson, Alex Berenson, and many others were targeted not because what they were saying was necessarily false, but because it was the most effective criticism of the narrative line that the administration was pushing at the time. Censorship is not about truth. It is about power, preserving and expanding the power of the censors and the political narratives they prefer. Fifth, federal officials are deeply intertwined with what other witnesses have called the censorship industrial complex. The Louisiana court made very detailed findings about the close connections between many federal officials and that mass surveillance and mass censorship enterprise that calls itself the Election Integrity Partnership and the Virality Project. Not just CISA officials, but White House, State Department, and Surgeon General officials have deep ties to that enterprise. As the Louisiana court found, CISA and the EIP were completely intertwined. Sixth, federal officials don't just dictate the outcomes of specific content moderation decisions. They also directly induce changes to the content moderation policies of major social media platforms to ban disfavored viewpoints in advance. And seventh, the federal censorship enterprise has succeeded in transforming online discourse by rendering entire viewpoints virtually unspeakable on social media, which is the modern public square. This ongoing distortion of the most fundamental American freedom, the right to free speech, is intolerable under the First Amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sauer. Ms. Wiley, you're recognized.
I thank the lady for leading us. Without objection, Mr. Roy will be permitted to participate in this hearing. The chair now recognizes himself for an opening statement. On the third day of this administration, January 23rd, 2021, the White House sent an email to Twitter. The email said this: wanted to flag the below tweet, and I'm wondering if we can get moving on the process for having it removed ASAP in all caps. That third day, what did that tweet say? Tweet from Mr. Kennedy. said this: Hank Aaron's tragic death is part of a wave of suspicious deaths among elderly closely following administration of the vaccine. He received the vaccine on January 5th to inspire other Black Americans to get the vaccine. Now, what's interesting about the email that the White House sent to Twitter is the subject line says, flagging Hank Aaron misinformation. Now, misinformation is when you don't have the facts right. You're saying things that aren't true. But when you look at Mr. Kennedy's tweet, there was nothing in there that was factually inaccurate. Hank Aaron, real person, great American, passed away after he got the vaccine, pointing out facts. And yet the White House on the third day was trying, actually 1:04 a.m. on January 23rd, 2021, 37 hours into the administration, they were trying to censor Mr. Kennedy. I find that interesting, the irony here, trying to censor the guy who's actually their Democrat primary opponent. Go figure. 3 months earlier, the FBI helped censor our second witness, Ms. Morris's story. Her story in the New York Post about emails on the Hunter Biden laptop. And we know the FBI censored her because of work this committee has done to uncover what happened and because of our third witness, Mr. Sauer, the lawsuit that he argued on behalf of Louisiana and Missouri in federal court, and a case that they got the amazing ruling from on July 4th, just 2 weeks ago. You go back to, in the course of that investigation, course of that lawsuit from Missouri and Louisiana, Yoel Roth, former head of site integrity at Twitter, in his sworn declarations, it's brought out in that lawsuit, in his sworn declaration in front of the Federal Elections Commission, he said this: during weekly meetings, federal law enforcement agencies communicated that they expected hack and leak operations before the 2020 presidential election, likely in October. These expectations were discussed throughout 2020. I also learned in these meetings that a hack and leak operation would involve Hunter Biden. Now think about it. Weekly meetings throughout 2020, hack and leak operation in October involving Hunter Biden. Five key things they pointed out throughout that year. And guess what? It all happens. It happens just like they predicted. How did they know? How did they know it was going to happen like that? Because they had the laptop. They had the laptop for 10 months before Mrs. Morris's story on October 14th. Her story breaks that day. That same day, October 14th, 2020, Twitter meets with the FBI. Specifically, the Foreign Influence Task Force at the FBI. Later that same day, again, the day her story comes out, Facebook also meets with the FBI. The head of the Foreign Influence Task Force now is Laura Demlow, and this committee interviewed her just 3 days ago. And what an interesting interview that was. We asked her about these meetings. She stated in the first meeting, the FBI and Twitter, in that first meeting, she said someone from Twitter asked, is the laptop real? They asked the fundamental question. That story had broke. It was big news. Twitter asked the FBI. They're right there in front of them. They've been prepping them for a year. They asked the FBI, is the laptop real? Ms. Demlow conveyed to the committee this week. An FBI agent answered, yes, it is. Another FBI agent, a lawyer, very quickly followed up with no further comment. So again, here's the scenario. The story breaks. Twitter's meeting with FBI later that same day. Someone from Twitter asked, is this story real? Is the laptop real? The FBI answers yes, and then quickly followed by, again, all this conveyed by Ms. Demlow, the FBI lawyer says no further comment. In the later meeting with Facebook, again that same day, the FBI was asked the same question, and this time the FBI gets their story straight. Ms. Demlow is the only one who comments, and she says no comment. Obviously, by the second meeting, the FBI had coordinated, and she conveyed this in her deposition, that they had deliberated what they were going to respond when that question was asked. So think about this. After being repeatedly told a hack and leak Russian info operation is coming for a whole year, it arrives on October 14th in the form of Ms. Morris's story, an accurate story. Our government knows the laptop is real. They know it's not a Russian information op, and they know the story is true. But when directly asked, they say no comment. And of course, Ms. Morris's story is censored. visibility filter, the term that the tech companies use. No, you can't direct message, you can't send it. Keeping the American people from valuable information just days before the most important election we have, election for commander-in-chief, election for the presidency of the United States. That's why Ms. Morris is here today. She knows what it's like to be censored. It's why Louisiana and Missouri filed the case. It's why Mr. Sauer argued the case. And frankly, it's why Mr. Kennedy is running for president. It's to stop. Help us expose and stop what's going on. This alliance, big government pressuring private entities to censor Americans. I think in Ms. Morris's testimony, which I read this morning, big tech, big government working together, big media working all together to censor American speech.
Now, I'd like your feedback. Give us a call at 888-874-4888. We're going to take a break and come back because I got a lot more things to share with you. And oh, I mentioned when I was in New York how I saw some people on the street just who shouldn't be on the street. They should be receiving mental health care. But they're out in the street, and people just adapted to them. Well, what happens when that happens? You're going to see that. We're going to take you into San Francisco. Two clips. It's become zombie town. You'll see. So here is a question. What if I told you there is an allegation that there are 459 potential crimes documented in the Biden laptop, 140 business crimes, 191 sexual crimes, 128 narcotics crimes, yet not a single media has done a single story on any of this as if it didn't exist. But it did. The FBI knew all these crimes existed and didn't allow social media, controlled social media, not to report on it. Why? Because surveys have shown that the average American public, both Democrat and Republican, would have changed their vote against Biden had they known this. So that is official interference. And because we now have a committee hearing, and it has not in itself been censored, as it historically has been for the last 20 plus years, you're saying the truth. Wow. And we'll take your calls, but we have Richard Gale on the line now. And one of the things that Richard, it was really staggering, was when they held a hearing last week, and Robert Kennedy Jr. was there, and that's what he's referring to. And it was about censorship. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Democrat from Florida, immediately wanted to censor Robert Kennedy from being on the committee on censorship. So why don't we take a look at who this person actually is, something about her, because the media has yet to do any story about her and her conduct, her behavior, what she supports, and what she attacks. I think it's important we know more about those who want to censor, but wrap themselves as liberal Democrats, where they're not like any historical liberal Democrats I've ever seen. Robert Kennedy is, they're not. Tell us about the truth of who Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who supported censorship on a committee that she sits on against censorship.
Yeah, good afternoon, Gary. I'll try to do this very quickly. So I just, in short, she was one of the young rock stars that kind of came up out of the Democratic Party when she first ran for national office as a young attorney in the Miami area. I think that's Broward County, if I'm not mistaken, but very ideologically driven. And she was one of the ones that was finally groomed and mentored by, you know, the real inside Democrat establishment, the Clintons, Nancy Pelosi, Biden as a senator, and VP John Kerry, you know, the real generals of the Democrat shock troops. But most of the controversy comes when during the Obama presidency, when she was the chair of the Democrat National Committee, which is really responsible for the Democrat electoral campaigns, people in the individual states, but also for the presidential election. So she was the chair. She, during the 5 years as the chair, she tried to, or made the attempts and was successful, but to completely redesign the structure and the strategy behind the new Democrat ideology that was really started back in the Clinton administration. And but the controversy rose in during the 2016 primaries when, under her leadership, they were able to basically silence, undermine Bernie Sanders in favor of Hillary. She's a very close personal friend of the Clintons and people that were on Clinton's campaign as well. And this is, we know this because of the leaked WikiLeaks emails that showed members of her staff were creating these covert strategies to get Hillary elected, and primarily with targeting Bernie Sanders. So in other words, the DNC had already created this unlevel playing field for the candidates running for the Democrat Party. There were data computer breaches that produced all these confidential information. So that was what forced her to resign. But what we're seeing now is her legacy there as the head of the DNC is continuing with the way the Dems are trying to exclude any primary debates that would involve Kennedy or Marianne Williamson. So they're just continuing to manipulate the primaries as they did when she was under running the DNC. The other scandals that I would like to mention, though, Gary, because one of her big funders is actually the payday lending industry. She's a big supporter, and her husband is a big banker in Broward County. And this is just the exploitation of vulnerable populations with, you know, high interest loans or predatory lending. It's just something else that I discovered in looking into her background as well. And also, given that, just listening to her attacks on Bobby Kennedy, I would just also say she's one of the most outspoken supporters of Israel in the Democrat Party, particularly supporting Israeli policies against Palestinians. I won't go into that too much because I don't want to get any animal libel. Let's say it's not black. It's pretty black and white. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Richard Gale. Also, just a few asides. We were told that the inflation is not a big deal. It's only at 7.8% or 8.7%. No, it's not. Olive oil, 46.9% increase. Cheese, 33.4%. Eggs, 28% increase. Low-fat milk, 28%. Pasta and couscous, 28%. Flours and cereals, 23%. Jams and honey, 22%. Fish, 16%. Bread, 15%. Butter, 14%. And fruit, 11%. Well, for ordinary people, that means that inflation's actually at 20% and out of control. So let's just say you took out a payday loan, one of the loans that is common for people who have no credit, or you want to buy some furniture. You could pay 1,000% interest. Yes, that's even more than organized crime charges. And yet, when was last time that in Congress you heard the victims telling their story and the perpetrators, including the lobbyists bringing the men under oath, who they lobbied, like Deborah Wasserman Schultz and Joe Biden? How do you justify 500%? 300%. How do you justify any of these exorbitant interest rates? Because people receive money. Legislators did. And that's why I said at the beginning of the program, we've been lied to about everything from every agency, from corporate America, nonstop. But we haven't had a form that people under oath and held accountable for perjury could tell the truth. Now there is one. And all this is coming out. This week, one of Hunter Biden's partners, who was there, who was at the meetings, who saw everything, heard everything, will be testifying. And also, we should be hearing about the text messages and the also audio where Hunter was threatening, allegedly threatening the CEO of Burisma Oil Company. And that's one of the reasons he was brought on board with no experience whatsoever and given millions of dollars. And so also, what about all the meetings that he had where his father was in the room and introduced his father to all the meetings? I was told thus far there are over 24 meetings. So how's that possible when he has said repeatedly, including on the election debate with Trump, that he never had anything to do with his son's businesses, knew nothing about it? That means he lied about a lot. So what's going to happen now? That's up to the American public, because once this starts, it's going to snowball, and it's not going to end well for them. So watch, mark my words, watch Hillary Clinton in the background. By the way, it was Harry Truman who said, once a government is committed to the principle of silencing the voice of opposition, it has only one way to go, and that is down the path of increasingly repressive measures until it becomes a source of terror to all of its citizens and creates a country where everyone lives in fear. Sound familiar? Well, it does. And this is the country we're living in today. So I'm just very concerned that now we're hearing the truth, but most people don't know how to handle that truth, especially if they've already assigned themselves to be a part of an ideology, which most people have. Now, we're going to have to say goodbye here in a moment to WBAI, but if we have calls, I'm going to take them. 888-874-4888. So now we're learning that all along for decades, in big corporate interests, especially pharmaceutical company, in the media, working with the CIA, the FBI, who are never held accountable, that they were working inclusive ways to bring us under their control. That's not good. And so we're going to hear one other clip now, and this is from a very courageous person. I remember this person. I played a clip for you 3 years ago. She was in Great Britain, a nurse, and she was in a hospital where she was seeing all these devastating side effects of the vaccines, but the hospital people told her, don't report this, don't report it. And she did. She lost her job. Well, guess where she's at now? She was invited by the European Parliament to speak in front of the European Union. Her name is Fiona Hine, H-I-N-E. And listen to her truth bombs. This we don't have in the United States, but there they're opening up for this truth to be heard. Let's go to the clip, please.
I never thought that I'd have the privilege to be speaking here today, and I'm honoured to be speaking alongside some of the strongest dissenting voices we have seen in the past 3 years. I'm also delighted to be here next to British MP Mr. Andrew Bridgen, who I've had the pleasure of working with, who's spoken at my rallies, and he is the only MP in the UK Parliament that's brave enough to stand with the people. I have a question, though. Are you scared of me?
I would never admit it.
And fictional modelling. These measures were enforced by a tyrannical government that repeatedly claimed to be following the science. I think we can all agree they did not. They created a science designed to fit a narrative, while these unscientific measures, restrictions and mandates were forced upon us. During this time, it was not easy to be a dissenting voice. Most of us were censored, silenced and cancelled, but some of us were arrested, charged and convicted for exercising our human right to peacefully protest against these cruel and harmful measures. We were isolated, terrorized and oppressed, and this was their new normal. While dissenting voices were silenced and ridiculed, and people who peacefully demonstrated were criminalized, the masses were... The masses were coerced and manipulated through the use of behavioral science, fear-mongering and wartime propaganda. They were forced into taking an experimental vaccine. And this is their new normal. Most recently, I have run a six-month-long campaign that gave a voice to the COVID vaccine injured and bereaved. Sorry. Thank you. So most recently, I've run a campaign for the COVID vaccine injured and bereaved. Two of those ladies are in the room with us today, one who lost her mother and the other who's injured herself, who campaigned for truth and justice, not just for themselves, but for future vaccine injured, and we know that will come. I've campaigned for 2 years telling people that it would be safer to wait, that to discourage them from needlessly participating in an experiment. Unfortunately, today we see the results of a mass vaccination campaign rolled out globally with no informed consent. They mandated an experimental vaccine. They threatened people with the loss of their livelihoods. And now thousands of people in the UK alone have suffered life-changing injury, while others have been killed. This is their new normal. Our rights and freedoms were stripped from us in a way that we have never experienced before. The very people we may have once believed were democratically elected into their positions of privilege to govern by the people, for the people, committed fraud upon the people. I believe that today this fraud has been exposed. As Orwell said, all tyrannies rule through fraud and force, but once the fraud is exposed, they must rely exclusively on force. This power grab, as we know it, if we do not resist, will be that force, and that force will be our new normal. I stand with you today to congratulate these citizens for taking the first steps to tackle the transfer of power from the people to the unelected and unaccountable World Health Organization. Secondly, I'll call upon the citizens of the world to unite in their respective countries, as we will do in ours, and across all continents of the world, and to tell those citizens that you do have a choice. You have the power to effect change, and you have a voice, so use it. Now we must work together to stand against this power grab, and at the very least, raise mass awareness, encourage and demonstrate mass non-compliance. You have a choice not to choose their new normal. Thank you.
What a courageous person, a real hero. The gentleman she was speaking about, who's there with her from the British Parliament, I played you his clip a year ago when he was speaking out about corruption in the COVID program. Not a single member of Parliament would be in the room with him. They all left. He was there alone. There was a long shot. You saw that only he. That shows you how many cowards there are in politics. Most are cowards. Good for the ones who are not. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about a new study in The Lancet. Quote, study on COVID vaccine autopsies find 74% were caused by vaccine. Okay, great article. Very good top scientist. The Lancet removes the study within 24 hours. That's censorship. But who wants to know that if the autopsies they carried out, 74% of the deaths were caused by the vaccine? We'll deal with that tomorrow. Now we're going to hear from Jimmy Dore. We're going to have real hard-hitting programs, investigative journalism at its finest, following me every day this week. Utrice Lead is going to be on at 5 o'clock in prime time and to share her unique contribution to broadcasting and humanity in a way that only she can do, 5 o'clock each day. Now to Jimmy Dore.